Welcome to This Is Madness.
We'll be destroyed for sure. This is madness.
Nope. Music start already?
Nope. Nay, quiet.
You can actually go if you want.
Sure. Okay. Welcome everybody to another edition of This Is Madness podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mark Seib. You can find me Griddle Marks on Twitter, where I was getting a lot of hits today about Ahsoka dying. other than that, we've got Noah Outlaw. We've got Jared.
Hello.
I don't call you Jared, but it's like, is it really? I had this conversation every time. You need to change your name.
All right, let's just do that for the This Is Madness podcast.
No, I mean for like, because everyone wants to call you Joaquin or wants to call you Jared slowly, and slowly's not your last name. But
true. I thought his name was Joaquin, like Joaquin Phoenix.
No,
true.
I guess
it's a little confusing. But I mean, Jim? Randy's cursing user on everything.
Last name classified. And then we have the self-proclaimed king of pop, Jason Ward from Making Star Wars Network as well.
Hey, guys.
He's really mellow right now.
I'm a pretty chill guy.
King of pop, Michael Jackson. He's the king of Star Wars, but, president of Star Wars, king of Star Wars.
whatever it takes to get somebody mad about it.
That's it'll get people mad.
Like David Prowse.
How do you think you're the president of Star Wars? Well, it says so on my Twitter, man.
So we'll start off with like normal. This is just a conversation between friends, something that you might find at a bar or a nerd convention where everyone's talking about Star Wars, things they like, dislike. It may not even be all about Star Wars, but guests don't usually know the questions until it starts. So here's the first topic. The question is going to be to Jason. Jason, there's a lot of talk this past few days about when's the trailer coming out. You guys have been pretty good on MakingStarWars.net about having trailer info. A lot of people think it's coming this week or maybe Monday. So the question is, do we even need a trailer?
No, not really. I mean, at the brass tacks of it, a trailer for us is just preaching to the choir. Like, we don't need any trailer. They could have never shown a trailer, and we would still be there when the movie opens up. Now, do general audiences need a trailer? And I think that is more of the question, and I think the answer to that is yes. But it doesn't need to be this week or next week or whatever. It just needs to be close enough to the movie to let your average consumer know now is the time to go watch the Star Wars film.
You think the audience sees it more by a trailer or more by a TV spot or more by, you know, the trailer is not the marketing tool it used to be as far as sitting down in a theater and seeing it. I mean, where do you think most people see a trailer nowadays, or do they even pay attention to that?
No, well, I think most people of a certain age see it online on something like YouTube, and then everyone else sees it on TV. Because, I mean, like, what movies are out right now that people are, like, clamoring to go see that it's going to be enough to let everyone know that there's more Star Wars coming out? You know, there's not really anything too great until Star Wars, actually, for me anyway. So TV spots, I think, are going to probably be where most people who don't care or forgot about Star Wars for whatever reason are going to be notified that they should go to the theater in December. And like I said, doing that now, what does it matter now? Like, this needs to start at Thanksgiving. You know, I'm not saying there won't be a trailer. I'm not saying anything like that at all. This week, even, I'm not going there. I'm just simply saying that it before Thanksgiving, putting it out is, once again, like I said, just preaching to the choir. I mean, we're already converted. They don't need to show us anything else if they don't want to. We're still going to give them our stupid money. So,
yeah, but that also, you know, I was talking to people that I go to school with,
yeah.
And we were talking about The Force Awakens, and I was telling them about it, and it seems like most of the people in the, you know, general audience have no idea that movie's coming out. They don't know. Like, I asked them, do y'all know about the new Star Wars movie? And they're like, no.
Right.
That's it. And so that's why I think that we need trailers. We need TV. There definitely needs to be more TV spots, which I think there will, obviously. But I think that there's going to be they're going to have to do a lot to get the general audience to, you know, want to go see this movie, because most people don't even know it's coming out.
Right.
Yeah, but somebody else disagree?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Jason's right that it's not that important yet, because the general audience doesn't care what's coming out over 2 months from now. They're not planning their schedule that far ahead. So as long as it is within the last month, I think that's all that's really important.
Right. Mark, what were you saying? You disagree?
All right.
You guys lost connection, but it's okay. Go ahead.
The Skype die?
Yeah, Skype died, but
did we all get back on?
This is madness, so
I'm on.
Let's just
madness.
Let's keep it rolling.
Hey.
This is madness, you guys.
We all got now cut off.
Now we don't have Mark. Remember last week he kept on making fun of Jeremy, so
now that Mark's not here, let's all talk about
it. Oh,
That's what he did to Jeremy. I mean,
like, who does he think he's asking those questions? Like, he's, you know, Barbara Walters or something.
He's giving support in the Twitter group chat.
Third World Podcast is what he said. I've also been texted by Ron to let you guys know you all suck.
I believe that.
The updates continue to roll in. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like as far as it goes, though, at what point do you start telling the general audience?
I think that what you said.
About the movie. I mean, it's like Thanksgiving, right? Like when everybody's there, the families are together, it spreads virally a lot easier, don't you think, to begin there?
Yeah. I think Thanksgiving's the way to go.
That's what Jurassic World did last year. They had their TV spot, and I think one of the trailers on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we all know how that did.
Yeah, it performed really well. So well that they gave them a Star Wars movie. Tomorrow. So.
True.
Yeah. But I kind of can see them putting the trailer out now, and then putting out either a remixed version or something like that for Thanksgiving still, though.
Yeah, I just think Thanksgiving is the day they're going to focus on what comes out on. I think they're going to have the newest trailer attached to the to Creed, that movie coming out. I know y'all know what movie that is.
The one with Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rocky sequel.
And I'm not saying that doesn't mean it's not come out till Thanksgiving, but from what I've seen where I work, obviously, we were putting the second trailer on things that came out 3 months later. So there's no reason we can't. I think that Creed will definitely is a big one that they're going to put it on. That's on Thanksgiving. It's perfect time. A lot of people are going to go see Creed. Mark, are you back?
I guess. Whatever.
Whoa, you sound really overdriven.
I have no idea what was said, but what I was going to say is I walked into the garden department of Walmart today, and they had this giant inflatable... You know those things
from the old folks, huh?
Fuck yourself. You know what? You know those things that they put on your lawn during Christmas time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, had one that was just Kylo Ren. It's not. There's nothing Christmas about it. It's just a giant inflatable Kylo Ren that you put in your front yard. And I know that I've heard. I think Jason was talking about it, or somebody was talking about it, that they run into people all the time that these kids know who BB-8 is, or these kids know who Captain Phasma is. You know, I think the audience awareness of The Force Awakens is above and beyond what a typical movie is. I mean, obviously it's Star Wars, but you're looking at that they've already got a grip on the audience. It's just the hardcore Star Wars fans are the ones who really need a trailer right now. For the rest of the world, when they see it, they'll go to the movies. They don't even plan what movie they're going to see a day before, let alone 2 weeks before, let alone months. You know, they'll try and see it that day.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's a really good point. I didn't think of it, but like, you know, I just went to the Lego store a couple weekends ago with my niece and nephew, and it was filled with kids, and there were tons of Force Awakens sets there, and it is, you know, it's the most popular toy line out there. And just thinking about kids walking through Toys R Us or, you know, in the toy aisles at department stores, they're going to get this exposure, and they're going to ask their parents to see it when they do see the trailer, because they're going to already know who all the characters are.
Well, it's not even toys either. I mean, you know, I tweet out pictures of products that I find, but you've got kids who can get R2-D2 cookies, or they can have Force Awakens Go-Gurt, or right now you've got Star Wars macaroni and cheese and cereal. Absolutely.
Campbell's soup. I saw a commercial exactly. for that the other day.
You walk down the boys' or girls' clothing aisles, and you see Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, vitamins, everything.
Everywhere. So Star Wars is in the public consciousness, you know, and once those TV spots start popping up and you'll see R2-D2 or whatever, people are going to, the kids, oh, let's go see that. Let's go see that. And parents will obligingly take their kids.
Yeah, I was in a store the other day, and this guy was just randomly whistling the Imperial March in the middle of the store. You know, so stuff like this, I was saying, I love how relevant it is in the common, or not common, like the general public today.
Did you high five him?
The common people.
He was on the other side of the aisle. You know, it's not worth walking over there. But hey, you know, I'm really interested also to see how many costumes for Halloween, because we've seen like the Stormtrooper costumes and the Kylo Ren costumes and all that. I'm interested to see how popular they are, because I think that will help give us an idea of how aware and how excited people are.
I was at Sam's Club, and there's this 3-year-old Latino kid, didn't speak a lick of English, and his dad's trying to get him a costume. His dad wants to get him Ninja Turtles, and this little kid in Spanish just keeps yelling for Star Wars because he wants to be the Stormtrooper.
That's awesome.
It crosses every barrier. It crosses every nationality, ethnicity. It's just, you know, kids know Star Wars. It's almost like you're born with it now.
Yeah, when I was at Legoland a few weeks ago for the Halloween event there, and I took my little kid there, and he knows the characters because obviously I'm his dad. So, you know, he was there in a Captain Phasma costume, but we probably saw seriously like 25 Kylo Rens. And I thought, and about 4 or 5 Finns in the end. And it was pretty weird to see that because the movie's not even out yet. So it's almost, it's like kids are sort of brand identifying to an extent, but they're also looking at these costumes going, that's cool, so I just want to be that. And that's a really good sign for the film, though, in a way, because it kind of like taps into that like He-Man side of things, you know, like where the show really is bad, but you know, when you're a kid, you think it's good because you think everything looks cool, you know. Maybe I'm dating way south way too much there for Noah, but
yeah, what are you talking about?
but anyways, that is like a really good sign, because it means that the bad guy's design is at least effective. You know, Kylo hopefully is a great character on screen, but I mean, what did we have, like 2 trailers or 2 teasers and a marketing push for product?
No, we had that, and then we had the 2, I don't even know, the 1 Korean spot, and then the
15 second trailer.
But I'm talking about for Instagram. Like things that children and
what
young
was it,
people
the Instagram
would see.
Spot,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
like just teaser. Things that like the general audience, like that stuff was for Koreans, and then we pulled it out. So kind of made it for us first, and then they put it on the Instagram. But you know, such a weird marketing campaign in that front. And so now, if a trailer comes out today, it is still good for Star Wars because they have a lot of product out there. So I think a trailer today helps the product more than the movie.
Yeah.
Well, the second part of the question, and this is something that I don't know if you know Jason or not, but do you think we'll see Snoke or Maz in a trailer?
I want to say I bet you we will end up seeing Maz. I think showing something a little bit beefier than what we've had, which was like an arm, is probably where they're going to take it. But at the same time, you know, Lupita has made it sound like it's not happening. You're not seeing her until the movie. Like, that's what she believes, which means at some point, probably somebody at you know, like J.J. Abrams said, hopefully they don't see you until the movie. That is the plan. Now, it doesn't mean that if there might not be more internal discussions about when that time is going to be, though.
Right.
You know, but I don't think we're going to see Snoke until the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything actually a great reason for that, though. I don't think they're like hiding anything. I just think that it's kind of like, why would you show Emperor Palpatine in the Empire Strikes Back teaser? Like, his scene is almost irrelevant for the most part.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't think Snoke's going to be in the movie enough for us to put him in the trailer, or for them to put him in the trailer. I don't think he's going to be that big of a part, at least in this one, for him to have like his own little shot in the trailer.
Right.
Shortly after Force Friday, this guy asked me when we were going to get the Luke Skywalker action figure.
Right.
You know, I'm telling him, you know, it's going to be a little while. You know, you'll probably see him in the movie first. And he was heavily disappointed. And, you know, it kind of made me think, I wonder how many people are actually missing him right now from the public perception of this movie versus how many people don't really care and they're fine waiting until they see him in the movie.
Well, this is a spoiler podcast if anyone doesn't know. But here's the question. Do they show Luke in a trailer?
I think they
already have, for starters.
With the hand.
Yeah, but I mean...
His face and everything, yeah. I don't think they should. I don't think they should show anything. And even the stuff I've come by with like Luke... And things like that, I don't go anywhere near it because I don't want to be a part of that side of it on this one. You know what I mean?
But we do, Jason.
He's the payoff. He's like the payoff of the film in a way. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's why I don't think they'll show him, because I mean he's basically the big reveal at the end of the movie, and if you show him in a trailer, that magic goes away.
It's like showing Frodo burning the ring up, like in the teaser.
Yeah,
for you know what I mean. It wouldn't make any sense.
Like in Castaway, showing him getting off the island.
Right,
it'd be perfect.
Well, are they holding Leia back, you think, for the most part?
They showed her in the behind the scenes sizzle reel thing that aired at San Diego.
Yeah, but we haven't seen her like as Leia. We've seen her as. Dressed up as Leia,
right, but not in the context of the film.
Yeah, which I think we will, like in the next trailer, whenever that gets released, I think we'll see her being Leia. And I hope we see Ackbar. That'd be cool.
But Ackbar is once again kind of on that Snoke level, but also Ackbar is an easy, hey, remember that movie you liked from 1983? Come see it again, right. Kind of thing.
And if he's tagging along with Leia, there's no reason you couldn't show him with Leia. You know,
right. Yeah,
yeah, it hits that nostalgia button.
Yeah, big time.
How long do you guys think it will be? Like 3 minutes or shorter than that? What?
I think it'll be like 2.5.
You think it'll be that short?
2.5? That's short?
Yeah. Well, they've kind of changed trailers today. Oh. I mean... Yeah.
And we're only getting one also instead of two.
Because I was hoping for like 4 minutes, but didn't they? You guys work in movie theaters, right? Didn't they just change that you can't have like those 4 minute trailers anymore?
I mean, I think the longest one that I've seen in our system is like 3.5, and that was the Batman v Superman Comic Con one, and they even shortened that down from the original,
right?
But hey, if they want to give us a 4 minute trailer, go ahead.
Well, it's like that. Like you say, that they shortened it for the theaters, but they have the full one that they had at Comic-Con online. So maybe they'll have a slightly longer version online or something.
Hey, the trailer might go on for like 10 minutes because the movie's 4 hours, according to AMC. So
that is true. There's no reason, right?
They actually updated that. They said it's 2 hours and 35 minutes now. Which
you think it's that long?
I don't know. That's what AMC updated that crazy.
I don't think there's a final cut yet. I don't think I don't think anybody really has it, and that's why when we keep hearing ratings, you know, you keep hearing it's rated this and rated that, and it's like, no, they can't rate it until the final cut's done.
Yeah,
Because J.J. Abrams could go there and just, like, you know, CGI off all the characters' clothes and have a rated G with naked people. So it doesn't work that
way. Jason, quick question. Is post-production considered anything after the filming?
I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, because there was a picture of, like, John Williams' parking spot for a post. It's in post-production.
Right.
I just didn't know if that would be considered, like, the movie's locked, or if the recording of the music is still technically post, you know.
Yeah,
I would think doing the music is a key part of post-production. Yeah. I would think, but yeah. I didn't go to film school or anything, so I don't work in that industry, so who knows.
I will. Ooh.
Ooh, do it.
I'm so hyped. I can't
put me in all your school. Movies and let me sleep on your couch. When you're rich.
All right, next topic.
Well, since when you brought up, Jason, that your kid dressed up as Captain Phasma, here's my question. Obviously, with Rey, we have, you know, one of the things Star Wars is certainly trying to do is to draw in more. I don't know if they're doing it consciously or not, but certainly draw in more female fans. Yeah. You think Phasma takes her helmet off? I mean, do you need that? Do you know? It seems like hiring, you know, Gwendolyn Christie, she's a notable face because of Game of Thrones. Do they leave the helmet on or do they take it off?
I think they leave it on because when you look at her, like a couple of the posters and things that have come out, her stance and her stature is very feminine still. Like even in the armor, I don't think she herself plays it in sort of a way where you can tell she's a woman. And at the same time, there's nothing feminine about the costume itself. So I think that's actually the smart way to go, because if you're a little girl, it doesn't have to look like, you know, pink pretty princess stuff for them to identify with it. She happens to be, like, you know, a feminine character or a woman in a kind of a very warrior-esque role. So then for boys, like my son has no, I mean, not that he has, I don't think he has those hang-ups, but he's so small, especially. But he wears the Captain Phasma costume because he thinks it's the best of the three costumes he has. Well, like, he likes it the best. That's awesome. It's awesome looking. So,
yeah, so, and plus her voice, if you listen to it, it does sound feminine, you know. And I don't think they need to have her take it off, at least not in this episode, because it applies the. All right, I hear you laughing. All right, come on.
Sorry, it sounded bad. I mean, come on.
She doesn't need to take her helmet off because they can apply the feminine aspect to her without having to be so plainly in your face about it.
Well, and she even said that. She said that recently, I think, in an interview, that it was something she worked on with JJ, was conveying in the armor that she was still feminine, that she was still a woman, and trying to portray that without showing her face. And it sort of implied, I heard some people picking up on that and saying that meant she wasn't going to take off her helmet. And something you just said, Tim, I personally would be disappointed if she didn't at all, because I think it is powerful for you know, young women to see and girls to see a woman stormtrooper at some point. But it's also cooler to do it subtly to gradually ease into that.
Well, here's the question, though. Is if you remove Captain Phasma's helmet, right?
Uh-huh.
What is the function of it? Because if the function is to show Gwendolyn Christie being a beautiful, sexually attractive, like, object in there, then it becomes a problem, because now you've just sort of kind of taken your character down and then made her something for men.
No, absolutely. So, and
I would be afraid of it, though. I mean, I'm not saying Abrams obviously isn't that kind of dude. He's not like a Michael Bay or something.
Sure.
But it would depend on what the function was, because generally, like in the classic Star Wars movies, unless it was like Princess Leia or Darth Vader dying, most people who have helmets just kind of keep them on.
I think it could be
a really good point.
It could be a very cool moment if she does at some point. I just don't think it's a necessity to her character.
But you know? it also seems like, especially with the advent of superhero movies, that the final battle of any superhero film, the character has their helmet on or their mask off.
Okay, you know, is that because of superstars though playing superheroes as opposed to it being a superhero trope now?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have said that Robert Downey Jr. was a superstar at the time that he took on Iron Man, or that Chris Evans was a superstar when he took on Captain America. I think at a certain point that you're able to emote more as an actor, perhaps.
Sure.
Honestly, I think she's got to take it off. I don't mean that.
Well, okay. So hold on. Let's roll back just a slight second then. So if they're taking it off in superhero movies, then, and let's just say it has nothing to do with superstars wanting to show their faces whether they're superstars or not. Okay, so they just want to show their face. Then the director probably wants to convey an emotional connection to the hero or whatever in the final moments, right? Mm-hmm. But yes. With Captain Phasma as basically, by all accounts, a sort of Nazi-esque trainer of Hitler Youth, why do we need to emotionally connect with her if she's to be from the cold, disembodied next empire? You know what I mean?
But why hire Gwendolyn Christie, who's probably the most recognizable woman in fantasy right now? I could be completely wrong, but...
It could go a couple of ways, though. It could just be that Abrams wanted to work with her, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, but also, it could also, I mean, be for, like, future development and where they take the movie, but... From what we know of The Force Awakens, I'm just not totally positive we need to connect with her yet. Like, I don't think it matters.
When you've described her in the past on the site and on the podcast as not having – it doesn't appear that she has that important of a role, which would be another reason why, at least in this film, there'd be no reason to have that emotional connection like you're saying. Maybe it'll happen later on, but if she's not a main character – in those superhero movies, it's the main character who has to take off their face, you know, their mask and emote. But right. Not the side characters.
Well, because the persona of Captain Phasma is very intimidating, and I think they'll want to keep it that way when they're introducing this whole new era of the film. And like you guys are saying, so maybe later on in the.
What happened?
Ken and Mark kicked off.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm back.
I'm here. The heck is wrong with my internet?
Skype wants Mark off.
Skype didn't like Mark. All right, go on from where we were. Wherever that was.
Yeah. Anyways, I think to pick up the discussion again. Is it okay to start?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, is that it? Like if you remove her helmet, then like I said, it has to have like a really good function. And like so, like just knowing that she's a person and you know puts her pants on one leg at a time, I'm not so sure that matters to us in this movie. Because look at what we know of Finn. Finn and his buddy. The hell is that?
That's Mark's phone.
That's Mark coming back with a vengeance.
Yes.
Fucking chainsaw.
I was busy.
No, so we got Captain Phasma, and she's trying to make Finn kill innocent families in a village, or you know we think they're innocent anyways. But she's trying to push this on him. I'm not so sure if it's the smartest thing to reveal the identity. Like on one hand, I've oftentimes wondered, would it have been better if we never saw Jango Fett's face? You know what I mean? Because in a certain way, like.
Mystery.
Yeah, the people who love that mystery, it's really like successful. Now, I'm not one of those people actually. Like, it doesn't really bother me. Like, I don't feel like the mystery was that great, you know, for Boba Fett and the other side issues it brings up. But on that kind of stuff, yeah, like we didn't see his face in Empire Strikes Back, and he works great. So if she's that sort of role in this movie, just seeing her as this menacing, you know, heartless killer, you know, or trainer of them might be good. But yeah, we haven't really heard too much about her actual actions in the movie. Well, no, her like actions in the film itself, because she seems to pretty much accompany Kylo on his missions, and you know the role is like that of a stormtrooper, but she's just a really cool looking one.
Okay, since we're here, I don't mean to jump off the topic, because this comes with accompanying Kylo. There was a Lego set a while back that really surprised me seeing General Hux. I think it's on what's the planet name that Maz is on? Isn't it like Takodana or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Takodana.
Takodana. Hux is there with a gun. That's like did y'all like pick that up? That just seems really weird to me, knowing that like an Imperial or First Order general would be right in the middle of the battle like that.
Right. But we don't, I mean, we're making an assumption though still that if that place that isn't embellishing, right? Because, I mean, if he's up in the Star Destroyer above there and they're in communication and stuff, they might they just include Hux? I'm not like a Lego expert, so I don't want to overstep on that. But
yeah, but and then also he has a gun on him. He's holding a gun. Why would he do that if he's on a Star Destroyer? I don't know.
Thinking about Lego sets from movies that like my brother and his family put together, I don't think they're that keyed in. You know, they have the characters that are from the films and some of the same scenarios. But right. Like the Avengers Tower set from the first movie isn't movie accurate in any way to the scene or anything that's happening, I don't think.
Right. Because yeah, the only way to get Hux in there would be to make the Star Destroyer. Maybe there's no immediate plan for that. Yeah. And if things play out how we think and he's not in any of the sequels, then the time is now to sell that, to get Hux out. Yeah. I would think. But once again, there's Lego experts out there that are gonna like send me angry emails.
What do y'all think, speaking of Hux biting the dust, what do y'all think Benicio Del Toro is going to have to do with Episode 8? I've just been wondering myself, and I wondered others' opinion on that. Do you think he's going to be the replacement for General Hux, or is he going to be, I don't know. There's so many things Benicio can do. You know what I mean? God. Oh my god.
And Mark. We're back again.
Did y'all hear anything I said? Mark is still out.
Mark. Skype?
That's funny. More like sucks. Sorry.
Mark's out. Did y'all hear what I said though?
No.
Just speaking of Hux.
And then you cut off.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Hux. Okay. Well, I said, let me jump to another topic.
This shit, by the way.
I said,
speaking of Hux,
I said, okay. What do y'all think, since Hux is going to kind of bite the dust in The Force Awakens, we think, what do you think? Do you think Benicio Del Toro is just kind of his replacement? Or
what? I have no idea what you just said.
Oh. Hey, it's Mark.
Does anybody know what I just said?
Nah, you sounded like fucking Kanye to me, dude.
Kanye?
Everything sounds like we're on auto-tune.
Okay, does it still sound like that?
You sound better.
No, a little better.
Hello, okay, Mom.
What about now? The same thing?
You sound great.
You sound much better.
Okay. Since Benicio Del Toro is confirmed for Episode 8, or kind of confirmed, he said he is, and Hux is probably going to die in The Force Awakens, do you think Benicio Del Toro is going to be Hux's kind of replacement in the story, or what do you think he's going to do?
Yeah, that's a weird one to me, because on one hand, like, if they were to cast Benicio Del Toro as an Imperial kind of commander dude, that would be to break the mold on purpose, right? Because they cast Donald Gleeson because he looks, you know, very, very English and like a British snob when in that costume, and looks like almost like a Hitler Youth type once again. So putting Benicio in that role would be to change that up. And I'm all for it. I don't really think that you have to only have British people, you know. You know, man, the moment I heard that, I knew that was coming.
Thrawn?
I just knew it. And I was like, you know, like I even know a couple people who are like, please be Thrawn. And I'm like, guys, like, if you guys love Thrawn and you love Mara Jade, look at where the story is now. They're going to have to be changed so much to interface with all this new material.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it would make them happy. I think in the end it would be like changing something that they all love. So I would think that would be a bad idea myself.
There are always people, though. They could have said that Jennifer Lawrence is going to be in Episode 8, and they're going to say that she's playing Thrawn.
Yeah, right?
Mara Jade, yeah.
I like Thrawn better. She's Thrawn.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's funny. But I want to see, like, anytime anyone ever gets cast in a Star Wars movie, I'm always like, oh, I want to see him swinging a lightsaber. If anybody, if I could pick anybody out of the new cast, or anybody that I wanted that will get cast in the future, Benicio del Toro, I want him to be some kind of Sith lightsaber wielding badass. Like, just he just fits the role so well.
I kind of like to see him in more of a mental role, like he's more of the brain behind whatever's going on than the person actually doing it with a lightsaber.
Right.
Hey, Jason, I don't know if you ever talked about this on the podcast or not. Yeah. I don't know.
So I was essentially 13. Her name was Laura. What?
So essentially the way everything sounds is that the Force is the Force and the Jedi are just like what? The Catholics?
Yeah. One religion tapping into that kind of like life stream is kind of the idea behind it.
So then the Knights of Ren could be technically like Lutherans or, you know, I mean, you don't even know if they're good or bad. They just have a different ideology, right?
Exactly. Yeah, sure. We don't know if they're good or bad, but I'm going to say when the only one that we know of drops into a village and like burns it down, they're probably people. Yeah.
Or it could be both, where they start out good, turn bad, or there's a disagreement in the middle and they're in a state of disagreement, you know.
Yeah.
I love the possibilities with the Knights of Ren because we don't even know how far back exactly they go, and I really love the options they have for backstory there.
Yeah, I like that. What you said, like the idea of them being corrupted is kind of interesting, that they used to be noble and something happened along the way, or maybe even Kylo, you know, upon taking some level of control, screws it up.
Are they the Knights Templar or anything?
Sure. Like,
yeah, if they're, are they Crusaders? And
in a sense?
At the same time, Crusaders usually have the best of intentions, but usually end up being kind of dicks.
Yeah, right, there were invaders and zealots, like, massacring people in the name of what they believe.
It's right. Like Adam Driver said at Comic-Con about how he didn't see himself as a bad guy as much as somebody who was trying to do the right thing from a different point of view, you know?
Right. Yeah, and then, so there's been comments, too. Like, I was at an event with Filoni, and he was relaying, Dave Filoni, and he was relaying some stuff that him and George Lucas talked about before Lucas retired. And he was pretty much laying it down that, like, Han Solo uses the Force in his own special way. He's tapped when he flies the Falcon, and he's making that shit happen, and he's flying through asteroids and those kinds of things. He's making that happen through the same thing that the Jedi are.
And right.
But the Jedi are the ones who have all day to sit there and make it a religion and figure it out and study the midichlorians and stuff like that. Everyone else is just using it intuitively or as intuition.
Well, I had this argument with a friend that everybody has the Force, just some know how to use it better than others. Is that
100%? That is the best.
That's exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. if it surrounds us, penetrates us, binds the galaxy together, all that, then it has to be a part of everybody.
Yeah, if it's in all living things, there's no question. Everybody's got it. I don't think there's any argument.
See, the confusion comes from people that read midichlorians incorrectly and think that midichlorians mean how much Force power you have, instead of seeing midichlorians as being a side effect of the Force power that you have. You know what I mean? And it's never like truly defined on screen in one way or the other. And so the idea would be, I think, that like Han Solo definitely has that crap in his blood, but he wouldn't ever have enough where if they put him and try to test him or something like that they could kill him or put him into an Inquisitor program, as we're learning about on Rebels now, and all that kind of stuff. So you just end up with, people thinking that not everyone can be a Jedi. But in Star Wars, in the Star Wars galaxy, anyone can become a Jedi at any time. That's where I was trying to take this, is that anybody can become a Jedi. So therefore, everyone is tapped into the same Force. Just most people aren't like, Ewan McGregor good at it.
Right. So when they kind of say that, I forget who said it. Somebody said it at New York Comic Con that Luke knows he's the last Jedi in the universe and he's fine with it. That doesn't mean that there aren't Force users. That just means he's the last of that order.
Of the Jedi.
Look at Ahsoka though. She's not a Jedi right now in Rebels, but you know,
well, technically, she can Luke still never do the same thing. Right?
And Ventress wasn't a Sith. Right. They were people tapped in and practitioners. I mean, I would say even the witches from Dathomir, the Night Sisters, I would say that if they're using the Force too, I bet everything that we're just seeing a different manipulation of that sort of essence.
Well, and I feel like they support what you were saying about everyone being able to use the Force, because it's either in the Lost Missions arc with Mace and Jar Jar, or in the Darth Maul miniseries, but Mother Talzin explains that she doesn't have a natural Force ability, that she steals it from others, essentially. She manipulates the Force and sucks the energy from others because she doesn't have enough on her own. So it's like if you can will yourself to become a Force user, like, I don't know. I think it's absolutely in everyone. It's silly that people debate it still.
Yeah, how much
time we have left? How much time we have left?
Yeah, 19 minutes.
All right, we're good.
Go ahead. which I think this conversation naturally flows into the question of, will Finn become a Jedi?
Right.
Is Finn one of them? You know what I mean? And I personally think that he probably will, but I think it's going to be a situation where it's not going to be the most I'm a born with it, gifted kind of situation. I think he'll become it because it's what he really is as a person. You know, he's the one who picks up the lightsaber and fights with it in the film and stuff like that.
And just gets destroyed by Kylo.
He answers the call.
Yeah, when Rey doesn't want to, he's like, all right, then I got to do it.
Yeah, right. It's Rey's destiny, but it's Finn's choice, maybe.
Yeah.
So who are you guys most excited for? I mean, for me right now, I'm most excited to see Finn, period.
I don't know. It's for me, I mean, I can't wait to see Rey. I can't wait to see where her story goes. But I'm most excited to see what goes on with Finn and also Poe. And Poe is one of those where we haven't seen much. We just know he flies in X-Wing, and then the movie opens with him. He basically starts the story of the movie. But so I'm really interested in seeing what Poe's gonna bring.
I'm fully excited to see what everybody does. You know, I think they're all very interesting, and I want to see what happens for their own paths and then how they come together, because they're all different. You know, it's very.
Why don't you take a choice? Make a choice.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Come on, Finn Sitter.
Man,
pick one.
Pick one. Let's go with Rey. She's got a lot of mystery behind her. I want to see that.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to go with Finn as well. Honestly, it's probably mostly because of how much I like John Boyega, but I'm excited. So I'm excited to see him fail with the lightsaber if he does. Whatever. I want to see some new badass attempts at least at lightsaber fighting.
I don't think he goes in there and is treated like, you know, a sucker or anything like that. I mean, he has training against lightsabers and stuff like that before the movie starts. The stormtroopers have shields that are designed to combat against lightsabers, even though they're told that the Jedi don't exist anymore.
Right.
and even people like Finn know that that doesn't make any sense.
They're like, you never know. You might run into one.
Right. Might lead into his willingness to defect. It's like, this shit never added up.
Yeah. These people are just fucking liars. No, but anyways, my point is that it, you know, he goes up against Kylo, but he holds his own for a time. So what I'm going with this is, you could take a badass like Pre Vizsla, and you know, he goes up against somebody for a time and is cool and is really great and is a big hero, but he's going to go up against, you know, Darth Maul or Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's going to lose eventually. Right. And I kind of think
Kylo to Obi-Wan and
Darth Maul. We don't know. There's so many rumors about the Kylo stuff, but yeah, Kylo's definitely force pushing people away and doing things with the Force that some would consider to be unnatural. Yeah. You know?
unnatural.
And also, I think it's going to be interesting because of how, on his own, it kind of seems he's done. Like, his lightsaber, it's so untamed. And I think his use of the Force might be very similar.
Wait, but you guys know that he has the plasma saber, right?
The what?
Yeah, his lightsaber is made of plasma.
Is that why it's so fiery and stuff?
Yep, that's why it's all spitty and sounds different.
Did he do that on purpose? Was he like, ooh?
There's an exposed wire. I don't know that anything's on purpose.
Yeah, no, it sounds, I mean, this is just my guess, is going to be that the story is that they can't go find those crystals like they used to. That stuff maybe is lost for now. And rather than go on a journey to spend 10 years of his life finding a crystal, he just circumvented the whole thing and got some kind of plasma emitter and made one. And it's the first of a way of doing that. So that way maybe it opens up so that they're not beholden to having to do these crystal stories all the time.
His crystal is listed as a red Ilum crystal. So what does that mean to you guys?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
So on the box, it says red Ilum crystal for the Force of
Excitation. Single. Yeah, single red Ilum crystal.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't put single and red.
Yeah, well, you know, in Heir to the Jedi, they had three, right?
See.
Three crystals in the one that he discovered. Canon.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
No, Heir to the Jedi. It's canon.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Heir to the Empire.
Yeah, Heir to the Jedi is canon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so for this to have one, you know, it is different from what Luke found.
Yeah, the Star Wars book that comes out on December 18th is going to have on the cover, what is it, the Star Wars Visual Dictionary. On it, on the very front, it has a note that says Plasma Blade, actually. So that's actually official now.
Ooh, interesting.
Maybe it's the construction of the blade itself rather than the crystal. Maybe he doesn't know how to make it the way that the Jedi made it.
Right.
To do it yourself.
Jason, can I ask you a question? I had a conversation with my coworker today that he's concerned about the new trilogy, because clearly the previous six were an homage to serials and to sort of the operatic movies of the past. He's worried that the new one won't be that style and won't feel like Star Wars. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's definitely tricky. I still will say that Ed Abrams is a little bit older than we think. He seems very young and he looks young, but, you know, the dude's in his 50s too, right? So it's like it's not like, you know, he was of that generation, but we could still see that homage. We don't really know to what extent it will or won't be there. But also, I'll say that we're both super 8 fans, and the guy's a good student. So I'm gonna sure. imagine that he would be able to, number one, study up and figure out what that essence is, and then number two, probably talk to George Lucas about what the exact films were too that he should be watching and stuff. So, but when we look at other things, video games, expanded universe, stuff that are made by people not truly of Lucas's generation, it tends to be Star Wars derivative, and it doesn't feel like George Lucas Star Wars at all. It feels like Star Wars because of the art design generally, but what we know of the story itself fits into like the whole I'm going to use Joseph Campbell and I'm going to lay out the hero's journey kind of stuff. It fits really easily into that mold for sure. So part of the George Lucas method is clearly there in the story. Now, everything else, though, I think is going to remember how it's filmed matters, but also editorial. And Abrams editors, you know, are they of that generation or not is a good question to ask too. Not necessarily about Abrams, but about his editors, because that's kind of what makes the serial feel of Star Wars, is that clunky ass editing.
Well, you know, I was listening to, I think it was Rebel Girl, and they were playing the sound clips from, what is it, Boyega?
Okay.
And that right there, to me, that was the first time that I'd heard John Boyega's acting in a movie. It sounds like a completely different level of emotion or emoting than I've heard in a Star Wars movie. I mean, honestly, I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it's anything that we've heard before.
Yeah, that does. You do bring up a good point there. There's not much in those sound clips where we hear him, he's screaming everything.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, what the hell is going on at that point? I want to know what he's dealing with, but it's like, I'm not sure this is Star Wars. And not that I have a problem with it, but it may just be Star Wars for a new generation.
You imagine that they got the sound clips for like a talking Han toy in 1977 from the trash compactor scene, wouldn't it sound just desperate?
I gotcha.
I do see what you're saying, that generally it's not that kind of tone at all, but I feel like there are moments, you know, like it's a weird choice to have all of the toys lines be in that style for sure.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not totally sold because, you know, we're hearing like reactions, like we go back to Jakku, we die. And it's him like, because she wants to go back and he's like, you're an idiot. And so you know, it's kind of hard to say how indicative those lines from those figures are of the style that'll be used. Because I mean, listen to Kylo's line; he just sounds kind of rapey and pervy, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring up. Kylo sounds pretty, I'm not gonna say normal, but he's not, you know, crazy. He's very mellow. It seems like for the most part,
he sounds like a normal human date rapist.
Yeah, is it true? You're just a scavenger.
Yeah, I think my kind of interpretation of the character, just based off of what we know, is I think he's going to be soft-spoken, and then I think he's going to lose his shit.
Yeah, like a psycho kind of guy.
Like a psycho temper tantrum.
Yeah,
I kind of think that's where this goes, but...
And I think so that's cool. Very great for the bad guy. Like with Vader, how, you know, calm and controlled he was, that's part of what made him so menacing, was that you couldn't reason with him because he, you know, he thought he was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he going to try to be Vader, Jason? In your estimation?
Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
I think so.
Is that what we're going for?
We don't know for sure because we don't know what Rian Johnson's doing and stuff like that yet. Not that well anyway. But all that together, I kind of think so because he has the helmet in his personal chambers, and he talks to it. As far as we know, he talks.
Let me ask you a question about the inside Star Wars sort of thing. Is Rian Johnson working with Colin Trevorrow right now? You think? Do you think that they're kind of hand in hand about this is what I'm doing? What do you think? Because obviously they're handing it off, so they're working together.
Yeah. I think all of them. I mean, it's been laid out that basically Michael Arndt and George Lucas's original story became the backstory for the books and stuff for the Journey to the Force Awakens content, and so everything that Lucas, or most of the stuff that Lucas saw, you know, became the backstory for this movie, but by moving it out a few years, and so what do you end up with Rian Johnson having a story that's been laid out by Kasdan and J.J. Abrams. And then he's writing and he's adding his own creative input into it, but the story beats are all there. A, B, and C about what needs to happen. It's all laid out for all nine or for all six movies. Or sorry, three movies that we're getting from this trilogy. And so what that means is that they're probably attending story conferences at times and working together. But that stuff was all laid out way, way, way early. And
then you have JJ producing episode 8 also, so he gets to kind of see that bridge there. And I think it's great that they're going to have the three of these separate filmmakers working together to make one progressive story that works well congruently.
Yeah. Well, we know that Kylo actually, speaking of, is he going to be Darth Vader or does he want to be Darth Vader, whatever. We know he talks to the mask. Now, what does he say to the mask? That's what I want to know. Like, what does he just? He's like, so how's your day going?
Well, when you look at what just happened, is you have Finn and Poe escaping, shooting shot down on Jakku. They can't find BB-8. He's just Kylo Ren just killed Lor San Tekka at the village, and now he's going back up to space to his Star Destroyer, to his personal quarters, as a loser who failed today. And so then he gets the helmet out. And it's really early on. We're talking like the first 10 minutes of the movie probably, or 15 minutes-ish. So based on, you know, where we think it takes place. So all that put together, what else could he do there but functionally monologue as the bad guy to the audience, who in this case they're using the Darth Vader helmet, so it just doesn't seem over the top serial, perhaps.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just a guess. I don't really truly know what he says. If he
it's
even
like
says
his diary.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, he just stares at it and is just like forlornly, like, "Oh, Grandpa, I let you down." I don't know.
He's like, "So I went down there and I asked for the saber, and he didn't give it to me."
Yeah, Lord Santega wouldn't tell me what he told the Poe.
I'll make you proud, Grandpa. Yeah.
Well, let me jump in real quick. I think we're getting really close to running out of time.
Yeah, about 4 minutes.
So real quick, Jared, where can they find you on social media?
They can find me on Twitter at Joaquin Slowly. And, you can find me, that's about it. I'm not on Facebook or anything. And you can hear me here sometimes or screwing around with Johnny Grazzo and Magnus Anton.
Go ahead and give a plug to your podcast.
Yeah, it's a preposterously long name on Twitter. We're GSWPITW.
What does that
stand for?
Greatest Star Wars podcast in the world.
Bullshit.
It's not a claim as much as it is a topic of discussion.
Okay.
The actual name is a Star Wars podcast on our Twitter, partially because it doesn't fit, but... No, we certainly don't claim to be the greatest, but we talk about a lot of podcasts and Star Wars in general.
Okay, good. Tim, where can they find you on social media?
On Twitter, you can find me at Trooper_5. Occasionally, I will be doing a podcast with things like Kessel One Radio, Noah. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
By the way, Amanda says Jason smells like poop.
Fantastic.
She said that.
Anything else, Tim? Score
track. I
didn't
want to walk out on the podcast.
MIA.
Score again. Yeah, score tracks. Noah, if we, you know,
we can do score tracks, guys. Yep.
Okay, then you can find me there too.
How's that coming along? The last episode. All right, let's move on. You can find me at Griddle Marks on Twitter. GRIDDLEMARKS. And lastly, we've got the President, King, Emperor of the Star Wars Universe, Jason Ward. Jason, where can they find you?
Like poop. You can find
me. Apparently.
You can find me in your hearts, and you can find me watching you sleep.
Oh, you're Kylo.
You're in my heart. You're in my soul. Go ahead.
Yeah. NakedStarWars.net. That's where you can find me.
Yep. And then you can find me at Outlaw Noah at StarWarsTime.com. Kessel Run Radio. I produce score tracks. I host this show. I edit this show. I do everything. I'm the king of Star Wars.
And everybody, obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably know now this is podcasting, but things are certainly going to ramp up in the next. They've already ramped up, but they're certainly going to ramp up more within the next few weeks, next month with Star Wars coming, and then Rogue One and Episode 8.
Episode 100 coming up.
Yeah, next week, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
What do we got? What do we got?
Me and Randy will be doing the show nude.
you
guys
going
to finally do a video show?
No. We would not subject the world to that.
So
I'm a cruel king, you see. But I do at times have remorse for my actions. No, sorry. Go on. Sorry.
So no nude podcasting, or if it is nude, you don't get to see the video footage. But otherwise, I'm sure they have something exciting planned for episode 100, which will probably be, what, next Monday? Next Tuesday?
Next Monday. Every Monday.
Monday.
We don't miss anything. Huh? I missed
every Monday.
One show. Missed one show and had a baby. Now is it. Second baby, I didn't miss the show. I was that good.
Not allowed. So with that, we want to thank everybody listening to Now This Is Podcasting, but to This Is Madness. We certainly appreciate you all, and hopefully we provided some insights to Star Wars and questions that you had. And certainly thank you to to Jason. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Noah. Thanks, myself.
And thank everybody. You, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Nice to have you finally on.
Yep. And I'm still waiting on that invite for Now This Is Podcasting. I've been sitting by my computer.
Soon, Noah. I promise.
And promise soon. Updating, refreshing Twitter.
Wait a while.
Okay, what guys. This is madness.
Wait, where's Amanda?
Hey, we got 5 seconds. This Amanda's is madness.
On? 5 seconds. Say yeah. Bye, Amanda.
Thank God for listening.
Welcome to This Is Madness.
He destroys the show. This is madness.